Tell me if you can hear this.
No. Were you doing something?
No.
I couldn't
I mean,
hear.
yes, actually, I was drinking from a beer bottle.
What are you drinking?
Funny you should ask. I'm drinking Northern Pilsner by Sudwerk.
Sudwerk, huh? What's that? What's that about?
From
Give me a
Davis.
rundown.
This is a basic Pilsner. So clean, quenching,
Refreshing.
refreshing. Yeah,
Working
and
around
got
in the mouth a
a
bit.
bit of hops in there, but yeah, you can just sip it like it's a juice, because
Like
that's
a
a healthy way to
tasty
view
juice.
alcohol.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, alcohol it kind of is like juice. I mean, well, for me
Yeah,
personally,
it's like wheat juice.
it's wheat juice. I call any liquid juice. Soda, juice. Water, that's juice.
Juice. Absolutely. Water's shit juice, though.
It's disgusting.
Piss juice. It's the worst
Piss
juice.
juice. All right, so we're recording now. That's our motto.
Check in periodically.
We're checking in.
I got a red thing. I think that means yes.
That means the red thing means green for gold.
Hey,
That
all
means
right.
go.
Everything means another color.
Okay.
That's perfect.
Great intro, by the way. Love that.
Hey, my name is Julian.
Hello, everyone. My name is Julian, aka Julie Boy, aka Drinking Juice, aka Juice is also beer.
That's right. My name's Nick, aka The Foz, aka Nickster, aka Nick Da Bomb, circa 2000. That was my instant messenger name.
I love it.
Thank you. I was denied the B, though. Some other asshole Nick stole the true Nick Da Bomb username, so I had to explain what BOM meant to everybody I talked to.
And this was before 420. You weren't 420 friendly yet.
No, not at all. I was like barely R-rated movie friendly at this point.
Well. All
Not
right,
very
well,
young.
we are your hosts of Clear Cash, and today we are talking about something that is not very near and dear to me, which is Zelda. I
No.
don't love Zelda. I'm
It's
gonna come right out and say it.
awful. It's a horrible game. Horrible franchise.
He's
Main
too
character,
smug.
yeah, is very smug. He's always got a smirk on his face.
And by that, I mean
Terrible.
Link. I don't want people to think I don't know the difference between Zelda and Link, all right? I know the damn difference.
Yeah, Link's the princess.
Yes, Link is the princess. Link is the one in the green suit that floats along with the little balloons and throws little fairy bottles down.
Whoa. Whoa. That's not Link.
That Ganon?
That's Ganon. That's the main enemy.
He's
You
the
could
final
tell by the.
boss.
It's a Japanese game. I don't know.
It's wacky.
Yeah.
So, in all seriousness, we are talking about Breath of the Wild today.
Great game.
Fantastic game. What I meant, let me dial it back a bit.
Let's rewind.
I don't mean that Zelda isn't good, right? When I said it wasn't near and dear to me, what I meant was, I've tried it out. I've played a couple Zelda games in my time.
Give it a fair shake.
I did. Yeah, I shook it down and see what fell out of the tree, and what fell out, honestly, didn't like. Didn't really, get into it. Did so my first question for you is, I guess, is this you've played Zelda, obviously, right? You've
Once or
played some
twice.
Zelda games.
Oh, yeah. Let's be honest. I've played some Zelda games.
Did you ever experience something similar to what you felt when during the first couple hours of Breath of the Wild?
Like with another Zelda game or
Yes.
any other?
No, with Zelda.
No. With another? No. Well, that's not true. Ocarina of Time was one of the first 64 games that I got. I was responsible for buying my own N64 games, so I didn't have very many. And when I got Ocarina of Time, and I got out on that plane, and I saw the sunrise over the dairy farm, and there was A lens flare? Oh my fucking God, that blew my mind. I actually called my dad in to show him
That's
and
great.
check this lens flare out, dude. And he was impressed. As actually, I remember that being genuine, but that could have been my mind addled with youth. But yeah, that was similar to what I experienced
Right.
with Breath of the Wild. But Breath of the Wild, man, shit.
Shit. So let me tell you, I
Hang
experienced.
on, no, 1 second. I'm unclear. Do you enjoy Breath of the Wild, or do you actually did not like that game?
Okay, so I'm gonna be honest with you. Can I be clear?
Okay,
I'm gonna be clear.
sure.
I feel like the setup from the beginning, I've been maybe untruthful. I've confused people. I'm gonna say it
I'm
right now.
confused.
Yeah, Breath of the Wild, great game. I love
Okay,
it.
yeah. Let's settle on that. Great game.
Full disclosure, I haven't ever enjoyed a single Zelda game previous to Breath of the Wild.
Really, none?
None. See, and I've tried quite a few. I think the first one I played was Majora's Mask, and it was a Blockbuster rental. And for some reason, I just like my mind couldn't figure it out. I didn't understand the concept of the game.
Yeah, trying Majora's Mask as your first Zelda game is like saying, I'm gonna go check out some art as a child and then like step in front of a postmodern like
Yeah,
splatter of paint.
it felt like that. It seriously felt some like similar to that. I just couldn't. All the previous games I had been playing, especially on the 64, were Mario, my good friend. I think I played that Star Wars 64 game, like a
Sure.
ton of that.
Games for dumbasses.
I just was like, my brain wasn't developed in any sort of tangible way. I had no conscious thought. So trying to understand Majora's Mask and enjoy it was not going to happen.
Few have succeeded.
Right. So, so I started speed running the game.
Okay.
I was the first speed runner of Majora's Mask because I hated
Did
it
you
and I
find
wanted
that
to get through
glitch?
it.
You like shove Link into a corner until he vibrates manically and then shoots to the moon
Yes,
to like land in his nose.
I am the originator of the bomb wall glitch. It's actually
All right.
named after me.
That's right. You're Mr. Bombwell?
I'm Mr. Bomb Wall. Yeah, that's what my
Oh,
username is.
wow. I'm honored.
Yeah, well, that's why we're talking about Zelda
I know
today.
you're honored.
I have been honored with the bomb wall glitch.
All right, so you started with literally the hardest and most obtuse
Literally,
Zelda game.
probably the most inaccessible Zelda game, like to
Okay.
date.
Yeah.
And that threw
Turned
me
you on
off
immediately.
for yeah, it threw me off for years. I couldn't ever bring myself to want to try a Zelda game after
Sure.
that. And there was many after that in between then and Breath of the Wild.
At least two.
yes, at least two. Fast forward, besides playing as Link occasionally in Super Smash Bros. The next time I played a Zelda game was Twilight Princess.
Okay.
I got that. The Wii was the first console I ever got on launch day, and still the only console I ever bought on launch day.
Shit.
And I went to Target, got my copy of Twilight Princess. I think I might have gotten it early too. I was like too amped. Maybe I didn't. I don't know.
Dude.
But I actually did play a lot of Twilight Princess. I don't remember a single thing about that game. I don't remember beating it or particularly being enraptured. I don't remember having any joy playing it. There's nothing sticks out. I know it sounds dark, but there's just like nothing that sticks out about that experience that makes me look back and say, okay, you know what? I have played a Zelda game and I have enjoyed it.
It's particularly funny to me for listeners out there. Julian's avatar is Shigeru Miyamoto, looking joyous.
Well, I my avatar on Discord is a very happy Shigeru Miyamoto that accidentally entered the big head cheat in real life.
He's got DK mode.
Yeah, he's got DK mode, and he's got a huge head. And I'm doing that because over the course of the next 2 months, today is August 25th, over the course of the next 2 months, we are getting two blockbuster Switch releases. I don't mean Blockbuster is releasing two Nintendo Switch games. What I mean is we are getting two grade A, top of the line, Miyamoto approved Mario games.
Can't hear this, but I'm doing that Shaka Hangwave sign real hard right now.
Ooh, hey, I'm going to text you a bunch of Shaka emojis right now in support of that, because we got Mario and Rabbids and we got Mario Odyssey in the span of like 2 months.
Fucking idiot. Okay, hang on, I'm sorry. Are you seriously putting a Rabbids game in the same category as a new standalone Mario game?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll tell you, you haven't experienced what I've seen. I've seen this game run in person. I didn't get to play it because the lines were too long. But
what's it like?
Okay. XCOM. Tell me about it. Do you know XCOM?
Yeah, I got XCOM 2 tabbed out right now. I'm waiting for this stupid call to end so I can play it on Iron Man.
Okay, so you love XCOM. You want to end this podcast right now to play it.
I would love nothing more. Tell me more.
So do you love Mario? Do you think he's a cool guy? Would you hang out with him?
He's great. Sure.
Okay. Rabbids. Let's talk about Rabbids for
awful
a second.
Awful creatures.
Horrible
abominations.
Disgusting. The original
proto minions.
The original minions.
Yeah, proto minions. That's what I said.
Well. Have I got something for you?
Okay.
You take Mario. Mm-hmm. You take XCOM. Okay. You take Rabbids.
I love it. I hate it. I'm sorry.
You mix them up. You got Mario and Rabbids Kingdom Battles or Kingdoms Battle. And okay. I think
I gotta be honest, I'm hesitant.
Well,
what's the kicker?
I'll tell you the kicker. The Rabbids wear, they cosplay as the Mario characters. Take a breath. Take a second to imagine that in your head, what that looks like.
I don't want to. It's making me angry.
It's making me feel lots of things. Mostly excitement for this game. And it sucks because, like, if it was anything other than Rabbids, I would be running through the streets. Literally running through the streets saying, yes, yes, you did it. You did it, Miyamoto. You did it, Nintendo. Thank you.
Crazy, wild bastard.
Yes. But it's Rabbids, and so I can't. I mean, I can't. And I'm glad that people can't see my face right now, that this is just audio, so no one can see what I look like. As I say, you know, I can't wait for the Rabbids game to come out.
No, okay. To be fair, and I'm being unfair, I've heard good things about this game. I've heard good things. I heard that it simplifies the XCOM turn-based tactical combat mechanisms in a delightful way, and that although it's incredibly weird and dissonant to have Mario shoot a fucking gun, that it's actually okay and not so bad. And I've also heard that, very much in spite of their own existence, the Rabbids are not that awful in this game. So
time will tell. That comes out this week, so I'll be I'll be hanging out. Yeah,
is it one day?
As when I say time will tell, I mean as in Tuesday will tell.
Oh man, okay.
And whoever people listening to this, whatever day you're on, maybe you're Tuesday. Maybe you're on Tuesday already, or maybe this is like a year later.
Time could have told.
Yeah. There's no concept of time wherever you exist, and Tuesday is meaningless to you. Forget what I just said.
Very hopeful that we have interstellar listeners, but yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so Mario and Rabbids done. We'll get to that some in the future. Back to the discussion at hand. We got Zelda. We got Breath of the Wild. Mm-hmm. been out for months now.
Six.
Some would say six. Some would say seven.
They would be wrong. The seven people would be wrong.
Right.
Yeah, almost 6 months.
Okay. So this was a Switch launch game, right? Mm-hmm. I think it came with, like, on the same day, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Widely marketed with the Switch for a long time. This was, like,
arguably the only Switch game on launch.
Right, seriously. But enough, and, I mean, this game, no question, could sell that system, for sure.
It did. I bought it because of that.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
So I had I'm a newbie on the Switch, right? I've only had it for a couple months. You had it right. A little bit longer than me.
I bought it on launch.
Okay. So
this is an interesting story. It's actually not interesting at all, but it is contrary to everyone's experience so far. Is on launch day, I drove to Best Buy and just walked in and bought it. There was no problem at all.
That's pretty incredible, yeah. Honestly. Because as hard as it is right now to get a Switch, I kind of also had a super easy experience getting one. Like,
yeah,
I was on the fence about wanting to purchase one, and then going to E3 this year, like, flipped the Switch, and I was like, okay, literally flipped the Switch.
Did you handle one at E3?
You know, I didn't even touch one until I bought
it. You never caressed one?
No.
Oh.
Because all the lines to place the Switch games there, like Odyssey and Rabbids whatever, it was way too crowded. The lines were insane, and I was only there for one day, and there's no way I was going to wait 3 hours in line, which it would eat up so much of the day. But So no, I didn't even touch one, but I left there, and I was like, okay, I want a Switch. Like, there's so much cool stuff coming out. I want to play Zelda now. I got to get it. I came home. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. Called around. Of course, no retail store is selling it.
No way.
Looked on Amazon. You can get one on Amazon, but it's going to cost you like $400.
Jeez.
Yeah. Which I don't know. I don't know how that works, right? So, like, obviously,
it's third party.
Yeah, it must be. I mean, it seems like that Amazon like just got their hands on some Switches. And they're like, okay, we're gonna double the price on them. So
Amazon proper, as far as I know, because I was watching the prices on this for a while, because I would hear people say, I can't find one, and I thought, well, my anecdotal experience was it was incredibly easy, idiot. So I look it up.
Right.
And when I saw them available on Amazon for like $400, it was usually like some third party retailer using the Amazon storefront to sell it.
Oh, okay. So yeah, what I did was just go on Craigslist and I found a listing and just went and bought it, and it was super easy. The person was selling it for just a little over retail price.
You paid like what you would pay after tax.
Yeah, pretty much. And, done. Great. Exactly. Contrary to many people's issues right now, me and you both,
quote unquote issues,
right. Yeah. We both were able to get them relatively easy. I guess we're sort of bragging, and I'm not going to say we're not, because we are.
Absolutely.
Yeah, in your face.
Mm-hmm. Be faster.
So moving on from that, we both have played a ton of Breath of the Wild.
Also a brag.
And... God, I just want to talk about that game, you know, just to talk about it, because it's definitely one of the best experiences I've ever had in many ways playing a video game.
Absolutely. So tell me about your day.
I played Zelda today. Can I tell you about that, or do you just want to hear about my day?
No, that's fine. Yeah, you can tell me about Zelda.
I played Zelda for about 4 hours today, maybe a little less.
Wow.
And so the first thing I want to mention before I get into, like, before we start discussing what makes this such a fantastically well-made game, is my experience with it, like, over the past couple, well, for the better part of a month, I guess. So a little after I bought the game, the DLC came out. Did you play any of the first DLC pack stuff?
No, I beat the game about 2 months ago, and I've been waiting for the story stuff to release before I visit again,
because right.
I really fucking sunk a substantial amount, like an embarrassing amount of time into that game.
Right. So yeah, the first DLC pack didn't really contain story at all. I mean, it added like a few different modes and added a bunch of extra armor and like helpful tools, right, that would help you. But one of the things that it was included in that DLC pack, which I think to the detriment of me, was a item called the Korok mask.
Oh, yeah.
And it is a mask that you wear that does a little dance on your face and makes a little sound whenever you're near a Korok seed.
Oh, that seems annoying.
No, I agree. It is annoying because what ended up happening is I was throughout playing, I obviously wanted to find as many Korok seeds as possible because those are the item in which you find throughout the world in these little puzzle scenarios or sometimes just in hiding places. You get these items, Korok seeds, that you use to upgrade your inventory slots.
Yes.
So it makes sense that you would want to find as many as possible in the shortest time possible, so you're upgrading Link as much as possible.
Sure, and earlier the game on. Like revolves around weapon degradation. So
exactly. You want to be able to carry as many as possible, and the Korok seeds are an essential part of that. So I immediately started wearing the Korok mask as soon as I got the DLC, which is still, I'm only like maybe a quarter into like the story of the game, and definitely at least maybe closer to half of the area of the maps explored.
The game has four main dungeons. So how many have you done?
At this point, I had only done one got the Korok mask, because I was taking my time. I was really enjoying the environment. I was really
drinking it in,
drinking it in like a big gulp from 7-Eleven.
And 72 ouncer.
Exactly. And I was just getting just visual diabetes every single day.
Oof.
and just going into a couch coma, because that game,
for sure.
we I think are on the same page, is just gorgeous.
It's a beautiful game.
It looks so good. And there's so many environments in the game where you just get there and you got to take a step back. You got to hang out.
Who, buddy? Kind of like that.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes I go, whoa, like that also.
Yeah, I've exclaimed, and I've shown, tried to show people I was around. If there was no one around, I just looked side to side and went, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, this is cool.
I'd get that game going. I'd pop into like a jungle region, really like take your breath away, and then I'd get on chat roulette and just show some dude's dick. Check this out.
Hey, you like Zelda?
You really liked Zelda, let me tell you.
Let me take you to the fairy fountain, my friend.
Oh, boy. He took me to the fairy fountain, baby.
Beautiful game. Beautiful game.
Oh, that's disgusting. All right. Yeah. Pretty game.
Very. So anyway, I was taking my time anyway, but then this Korok mask just slowed me down to a level where it was like unenjoyable almost.
You're one of those.
Because I got into this mindset, and I'm still kind of in it, where I want to just like explore every inch and wear the Korok mask throughout, so there's no possible way I'll miss those little seeds.
Yeah. I know your type.
Yeah.
I'm that type, you see.
I'm the same ilk.
Yes. If there is a glowing thing, I'm going to go look at it.
Right.
And so, you ever heard of a little game called Psychonauts?
I think I've dabbled.
Psychonauts is like the most fucking dense collectathon like ever made. It's got like seven kinds of collectibles, and they're dancing all over the goddamn place at all times. And I actually had to stop playing that game because I couldn't stop myself from going to pick all the stupid-ass collectibles up.
Yeah.
You leave a level with like 100 collectibles.
Jeez. That's like Crackdown level of
Yeah, no,
collectible.
I did like a countdown. Or not a countdown. I did the math at the time. I was astonished. I think I remember thinking there were like 10,000 collectibles available, and I was like, I can't play this game.
Jeez.
So yeah, I can't. I mean, there are, for the record, there are 900 Korok seeds in Zelda.
Yes. Do you remember how
So
many you ended up collecting towards the end of your
a
when you complete the
meager amount.
story?
I collected maybe 300.
Okay.
And I scoured that game.
Yeah.
So I can't imagine like having that mask on dancing all the time, saying like, hey, OCD, go pick, check this
I
out, grab this.
know. I know. I can't imagine. I mean, I wish I would have been able to play this game without it. You know, I didn't really under. I didn't. I guess I underestimated my
Compulsion.
brain's like compulsion to want to collect those things, because I just bought the DLC on a whim because I was having so much fun playing the game that I was ready to just have more, and it seemed like some of the stuff would be helpful for, you know, your first time playing. So, but anyway. Okay, so that's my experience. At this point, I haven't beaten the game. I've played probably a little over 100 hours.
I'm sorry, how many Korok seeds have you collected?
Oh yeah, I guess I didn't mention. So I think I'm at like the 400 mark.
God damn it.
Yeah. I currently have about 260 on me that I haven't turned in. And I think that I had previously turned in a little over 120.
Okay. I'm going to tell you, as someone who has beaten the game, you don't need any more Korok seeds,
No.
okay? You're not going to run into a situation where you need more. Have you even. So there's a point in the game where, I don't know, this is maybe a big spoiler for you, but there's a little thing called the Master Sword.
Oh, I got the Master Sword.
Okay,
I don't I
so.
got that a long time ago.
Okay. Yeah, you don't need any more fucking Korok seeds. There's also another item in the game that is also invulnerable to degradation
The
that you
shield?
can. Yes.
I assume it's the shield because I
Yeah.
don't have that yet, and I know that Link is gonna get his master shield or whatever, the Hylian shield at one point, so.
Well, for what it's worth, he's not just gonna get it. Like, you gotta go find it in a secret place.
Oh, okay.
And you should,
Right.
because it's great. And also, as a side note, this is like the third time I brought this up with Julian because it's so fucking good. But shield surfing in this game is so fucking good. And you gotta get that shield so you don't gotta worry about swapping your shields out all the time.
I know.
Grinding away on some
Fuck.
sick. On some sick.
Well, I can tell you that when I just finished the desert area
Okay.
where it's
That's like the best
very,
place
I
to
know,
do it.
it's like very encouraged that you shield surf. And
Yeah.
honestly, like, I totally can see most people, if they take the same like route I did, which I think is more of like the co more common route, that you would go to the desert area later in the game.
That was the last area I went to.
Okay, so for me, what I've done so far is I've gone to the first dungeon I did was the what is essentially the water temple, right? The
Right.
Zora
Yeah.
area, and then I went to the volcano and did the Goron, the fiery area,
Wait,
and
so you've done two so far?
I've done three.
Okay.
So I just finished the third one, which is the one that takes place in the sand area, and the first area in the game I ever got to where they explicitly told me I needed to shield surf or gave
Right.
me the instruction of how to do it.
Right.
And that's pretty deep into the game for me. I mean, I obviously
Yeah.
took my time, but and I also didn't even learn about shield surfing until deep into the game anyway. So.
Yeah, it's a difficult mechanic to accidentally engage. It's like you jump and then you do like a lock on and then you press the dive button. Is that
You
right?
gotta be holding up the shield like you're blocking, and then
Right.
you jump, I
Right.
think, and then that just I think that does it. If you
No,
no
because
no no.
No,
That's
there's a
not
third
it.
button. It's three buttons. It's
It
hard.
is.
It's not something you figure out, but excuse me. Fuck, I forgot what I was gonna say. Yeah, you can get instructed about it by other NPCs in the game. And there are better places to do it in the desert area, but the desert area is certainly a place that you do it the most because it's a desert. And you want to get to the hotspot regions as quickly as possible because there's, nothing else going on.
Yeah, and the shield surfing incorporates itself into the story at that point too, because you have to be dragged by the
Right.
sand seals
Right.
to get access the dungeon in that area.
Yeah. So on the topic of dungeons, I didn't particularly like the dungeons in this game. I thought they were kind of barren.
Yeah, they seem to me to be not the primary focus of the game. Obviously the four dungeons that you go to are integral to the game's story and are kind of like the major map markers and the major events that take place. And arguably what gives you the most story of the game is when you are going through the dungeons. But at the same time, they do feel very lifeless, mostly due to almost the entire time you're in them, you're alone. There's very little enemy encounter in them, whereas I believe, or as to my knowledge, most Zelda dungeons previously are filled with enemies and filled with
This is a
activity.
very strange Zelda game. Zelda being a series that has a very particular formula. It's one of the most formulaic series in video games. It has a particular structure where you start out powerless effectively, you get a sword and shield, and then you venture out from whatever village you start in, and you find areas that you can't enter. So you enter the first one that you're able to enter, and it leaves you with an item, and then that item grants you access to another area. It's basically like Metroidvania progression,
Right.
in that way. This one has no blockades based on the type of weapons that you have or skills that you have because there are no real mechanics like that any longer. You have everything that you have from the beginning, and then you just get better shit by going to specific places and taking it.
Right. And I think
And you're able
that's,
to go ahead.
oh, I was just going to say, I think that's why I was so immediately attached to this game, is that I wasn't stuck behind a barrier. I immediately had the beyond the first couple hours where you're on that elevated plateau, which I think is a great introduction to a game,
Yeah,
and they give you
totally.
everything right off the bat that you need. Beyond those first 2 hours, they're kind of just they the game puts you into this vast world, and you can go anywhere. You can do the dungeons in any order you want. And with the enemy progression, how it works is that you shouldn't reach an area that you necessarily can't handle. So it totally does break that traditional Zelda formula of almost like a linear structure.
Yeah, this is more in line with like American or Western RPGs in the sense that it's an open world and you can go wherever you want and you're limited by your skills, or in many cases you're limited by your level, but in this game that there's no level, so just limited by your equipment or
Right.
your capability, really.
Right.
Yeah,
Yeah.
and it's awesome.
It's fantastic, and I think that's with previous Zelda games, I was unable to find the motivation. I mentioned I tried a few and I couldn't get into it, but what Breath of the Wild does so well is they don't hinder you with anything, and they want to give you as many tools and reasons to explore as possible. So by telling you very little offering you very little in terms of map markings, or when you know, like for example, when you get a quest, the map isn't always going to update you with exactly where you need to go, like other Western RPG games do. Fallout, for example, whenever there's an update in the quest, it just it says go here or talk to them or talk to you know. It's very they really rely on the sense of exploration and getting the player to want to explore as much as possible and to figure things out themselves.
Yeah, I think one thing that Zelda does particularly, well, Breath of the Wild specifically does particularly effectively, is that it incentivizes exploration in a positive way. I find that a lot of Western RPGs in general have, well, this is no different, but I'm going to talk about Western RPGs specifically for a second, have a cataclysmic setup, and you're in a scenario where the world is very hostile, and you are dictating where you're going to go based on your fear of death, and whether or not where you're headed is too dangerous for you. And I feel like Zelda, although that's still true of Breath of the Wild, you're incentivized to explore in like a more like curious, childish fashion, because so much of the world is not directly hostile to you. Like it's environmentally hostile, so there are snowstorms or there's too much heat or something like that, but really you want to go where you want to go because it looks cool. And the way that the game describes itself to you is in a like adventurous and friendly way. And I think the example that sticks out to me most, which is really, really subtle, is it, like most games, in loading screens, this game has little tooltips that give you like, hey, like if you're hurting, you know, use some health or whatever. And one of the tooltips that it gives you is called The Joy of Night, and it says other animals and stuff come out at night, you should come out and take a look. And just the positivity in that language is all of the change compared to how a Western RPG might describe it, which is like the perils of night,
right.
Dangerous creatures right. are afoot, you know. And Nintendo's approach is like relentlessly positive, even when Link is, you know, put in a dangerous situation. I found that really compelling and nice. It was just really pleasant.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I mean, what it reminds me a lot of is, I you know, I get the same feeling playing parts of that game and experiencing certain areas, like especially the fairy fountains and and things like that, remind me very much of the childlike atmosphere and the very playful atmosphere of Miyazaki movies, like Spirited Away, Totoro, stuff like that. I find that the art styles is similar in a lot of places, as well as just like the general atmosphere and the music, really reminds me of that. Yeah,
it's just rich. It's rich with detail. There are creatures everywhere, and they're not just like polygons, like half animated to run away from you. Like they're hyper detailed.
Yeah,
and not like, not in the sense that they've spent a lot of like graphical fidelity on these animals, but like the specific ways in which they're detailed make them exactly what they are. And the best example I have is the lizards. They freeze when you see them, and they scurry exactly like a lizard. It's uncanny. Like
yeah.
they've nailed that animation so specifically. And this is like a very simple like game object, and that didn't require as much detail as they gave it, but they did. And it makes that world feel fully alive.
Right. Okay, so we've been a little bit all over the place. It wasn't exactly organized, but let's do a rundown. We got the graphics. We got those pretty visuals.
Oh yeah.
Those are one and the same. and one of a kind, and I love them to death. We touched on the gameplay a bit. It's, well, as you said, I think one of the best examples of that is the scale of difficulty, right? Functions a lot like other RPGs where as you... they actually do something different, so I guess it's not how other RPGs work. But the more you kill... Well, so, you know, the enemies are graded by color, right? So the more you kill a certain type of enemy, so, like, if the more goblins you kill, the more of the higher difficulty goblins you'll run into. So theoretically, and this is what I've read, I think it's true, is that if you go through the game without killing goblins, you can go through the entire game and they'll remain in their
lowest level,
infantile state when you first encounter them. I believe that's how it works, that the more you kill them, a certain enemy type, the more likelihood that you'll run into the higher level versions of them.
All right.
And I think that's how it works with weapons too, to some regard. Like, I just gotten to the point where I'm finding weapons with attributes, you know, I never used to find them. Effects. Yeah. I almost every weapon I pick up that is from a chest or from some of the higher level enemies have like durability up or long throw, stuff like that. Sure. Like, yeah. I've had elemental weapons for a while now, but, now I'm getting weapons that have like special attributes to them.
Right.
So gameplay, fantastic. Graphics, fantastic. Sound, everything. Link's facial animations, great. I love it.
Yes.
Is there any closing remarks?
Closing? I'm just getting started, baby.
Oh, boy.
That's right. I don't know. I mean, I don't know that it's possible to have a short conversation about this game.
I know. It feels there's so many bits and pieces that in and of itself are 45-minute conversations.
Yeah, it's very finely tuned, and I think the sum of my experience has largely been dictated by what looked like a cool place to go, and then how was it getting there? What's the coolest way to get there, for lack of a better word? And then what's the coolest way to get the fuck out of there again?
Right.
And
bone out.
Yeah, and it's usually that mountain looks tight, I'm gonna climb it, and then I'm gonna like either jump off of it like a maniac or do some sweet shield surfing
all the way down.
That's right.
I got something to say. I'll tell you about my favorite experience, I think, playing the game. So as I was exploring, I was I was checking out the map, and I noticed that on top of a mountain there was a body of water that was shaped like a heart.
I know that body.
And I climbed that body of I climbed the body of the mountain to the body of water. Yes. And lo and behold, it was actually a broken heart.
Oh, tragic.
Tragic. And I felt a little bit sad, but I set down my campfire. I slept through the night. Later on in the game, I arrived at a similar body of water. And this time, it was also shaped like a heart, but that heart was intact.
No.
And I felt a flutter in my own heart. And I climbed up there, and there was a little emergent mission that, you know, a mission's not the right word. I guess it would be a little side quest.
Yes.
And in the side quest, you had to help a young Helian man profess his love to a, what are they called? Not the Gorons. What are the other? Gerudo.
Gerudo, yes.
The Gerudo women are all women, I think. Gerudos are...
That's correct. Women. They're Vor, or is it the male one?
Vo. V-O-E is what they call the males.
That's right. Get him out of here.
Get him out of here. It was a match made in heaven. I played matchmaker. I delivered some flowers.
Oh.
And it was just a lovely little sweet experience.
Thanks a lot, Roger Lodge.
Roger Lodge making the appearance.
You're Roger Lodge?
I don't know.
Oh, come on. Blind date, dude. Nobody.
No. Silence. Crickets.
I'm sorry.
Blind date? Is that the show Blind Date?
Yeah, dude. Hi. I'm Roger Lodge.
Roger Lodge.
That's his line.
I love that name. But
his own name. Yeah, dude. And another thing I have to say is that the food in this game looks so fucking good.
Oh, I know. Is it the best cooking game?
It's absolutely. And like the dumbest part is that really, really, actually, is very frustrating to me. Is that the way to make the best food is to cook the same ingredient 5 times?
Yeah.
That sucks. Cause like, the other shit looks so good. And
I know.
Until I figured that out, which was very late. Fortunately, I had a lot of fun like putting things together and being like, oh, an egg and butter and sugar and this fruit, and now I got this sick like fruit cake.
Yeah, and, dude,
like swollen and juicy looking and
oh, it looks so good. I love taking a Bo Copeland bat to the face, running behind a tree, and just snacking down on a mushroom skewer.
No doubt, dude,
that is
no
good eating. But yeah, the cooking is so good in this game.
It's so good, and it's so satisfying to watch.
And they play that little nice jingle.
Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know that shit. Hey, so like for the uninitiated, you take your ingredients from your inventory, and you select them. And then when you've left the inventory menu, Link is holding them in his arms. And then you walk up to like a cauldron, or what is it? It's like a little cooking pot. Cooking pot. You walk up to the cooking pot, you press a button, and he just tosses it all in, and then it all bounces around in the fire heat, and Link is leaning over it with his hands on his hips.
Wait, hold on.
What's gonna happen?
It bounces around in the what? The fire heat? Is that a new cooking term I haven't heard of?
Yeah, dude.
The fire. That's a Lugosi original.
I could have said like the hot fire heat.
The hot fire heat.
Yeah. All right, look, I was doing pretty good. All right, give me a break.
No, I'm gonna give you a break because that was nice.
Thank you. And then he ends up with like a double steak mushroom dinner.
And it all looks tasty, except when you make that dubious food.
Another company that makes really good cooking food or cooked food is Vanillaware. They make a game that I remember most is Muramasa the Demon Sword. On Wii, maybe you've heard of it.
I've heard of it, yeah.
Yeah, it's like a side-scrolling illustrated game. And it's got this fantastic art style. It's all hand-painted.
Right.
And to heal, or I forget the function of eating. I'm pretty sure it's to heal. You go into the menu, and you choose a food item, and it's like a little bento box or like a rice ball. And you select it, and then it shows it in the center of the screen. And then you tap it. And it takes a bite out of it, and you tap it again, and it takes another bite out of it until it's gone, basically. So you're like eating it with your thumbs. But it's just so satisfying to look at and watch. Yeah, I love it. I love video game food.
We'll have to do a whole ep on video game food. I think we can bust one of those out.
Some of it sucks, though, let's be honest.
Yeah. For real.
It's like garbage.
Well, so on that same note, like with as you explained how you pull stuff out of your inventory, I think that the whole system in which you pull things from your inventory is so brilliantly designed, with just being able to grab something and just throw it on the ground in a way that, like, I mean, obviously you can do that in so many other games, but the way in which you do it just feels so, I don't know. It reminds me of like when you click a button on a mechanical keyboard, right? It's just, there's something so satisfying about it.
Especially
when you drop a bunch of octo balloons on a box and you ride it up into the sky for a bit.
So tight, dude.
So tight.
Yeah. And there's like a whole mechanic with that too. There are those chew jellies.
So there's it's like a
gel ball that jumps at you and you shoot it or stab it or whatever. And it drops little balls of itself as inventory items.
Right.
And if they have elemental effects assigned to them, you can select them from your inventory and Link will hold them, and then you can throw them and they'll discharge the elemental effect as like a grenade, basically.
Right.
And that's,
you know, that's something you can go the whole game without doing. It's
nobody
just
ever
like,
tells you that.
No.
It's just something... is also like kind of frustrating, I guess, but on the same token, I like it when games allow for you to emergently discover things. This game strikes a fortunate balance of between like American instructions and or Western instructions and like Eastern European like obtuseness that you might find in like Stalker or something like that.
Yeah, totally.
Where they're just very unclear because there's a language barrier, effectively.
Right.
But yeah, this is a good ass game.